When did you come to the Yukon?
In 1932. I came in September of that year to visit my sister and brother-in-law. My brother-in-law was in the RCMP in Dawson City at that time. Many people will remember them. He finally was superintendent Cronkite of the RCMP. And I came here on my holidays. I was working for a lawyer in Vancouver. And when the time came to go back, my sister and brother-in-law said, "Oh, well, why don't you stay the winter?" So I stayed the winter. And here I am, 42 years later. Still not exactly on a holiday, but we go outside about every year. We have two children, a son and a daughter. They were both born in Dawson City. Our daughter became a teacher. Our son is a radio and television technician. He's with Alberta Government Telephones in Edmonton now. And our daughter is living in Spruce Grove. And they each have a family. Our daughter has two children. Our son has three, so we're blessed with five lovely grandchildren. And I met my husband in Dawson City. We were married in 1934, and we lived in Dawson City for 20 years. And then we moved from Dawson City to Mayo in 1951, and we lived in Mayo for 10 years. Then we moved from Mayo to Whitehorse in 1961, and we were there for 3.5 years, and then we moved to Watson Lake, and we'll be here 10 years in October. When we lived in Dawson City, Chaffee was manager of the Northern Commercial Company there. That was a big store. It took in a whole block, all way around the block, and he had a staff of 21, and of course in those days, or quite a number of those years, everything came in by boat, and he had to order everything in the line of groceries and so on for a whole year for the whole community, plus all the mining camps that were operating then, plus Old Crow. He used to have to buy for the whole year. And then he was with them for 16 years, and then we bought our business, which didn't work out as well as we planned. And then we moved to Mayo. And we just did a little bit of everything in Mayo. Chaffee was in the insurance business, and we finally wound up with running a garage. And then we moved to Whitehorse, and then he was in the office of United Keno Hill Transport Division up there for 3.5 years. And then we were given the opportunity of coming to Watson Lake with Northern Metallic, and he was in charge here of Northern Metallic, and he just retired from Northern Metallic last December. But in those years we've had a good life, and Watson Lake is really a nice little town to live in. The population here is mostly transient, you know, they're not here too long. They're mostly government people. There are three sawmills, of course, which the owners of these sawmills are here permanently, but their staff is more or less transient. But it's a good place to live, and it's an interesting place to live in. And of course, I've got one of the most interesting jobs here, meeting many, many people, and I enjoy it. And as I say, Watson Lake has been very good to us. In fact, the Yukon as a whole has been very good to us. And we've made many, many friends, and in Watson Lake, we see many of our friends from the northern part of the territory when they're passing through. And so we've been able to keep up our contact with many of our friends from Dawson City and Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
White Horse. But it's been an interesting and good life.
Mm-hmm. When you were in Dawson City, did you have running water?
Oh, yes. No, at first we didn't. At first we didn't, no. At first we had the water carried to us. And then, of course, before we left, why, everybody had running water. But, you know, in some parts of Dawson City, now I'm not just too positive on this right at the moment, but it seems to me that there was running water and sewer in Dawson City right from the very beginning, from I went there, because they always had what they called a city crew working on the pipes and so on. So I think that in some parts of it, yes, there was, but we didn't, in the house that we lived in, we didn't. We had it, the water carried by the bucket, and then, of course, outdoor privies.
So you had to sort of wash, did you wash by hand in that?
No, I never did. I always had a washing machine. Of course, washing machines were in when I was married in 1934. They were the wringer type, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, I never washed with the washboard or anything like that. I don't think I could.
would you ever go back and move down south again?
Well, I, just off the top of my head, I would say that I think I could live very nicely outside, but then on the other hand, I don't know, because, you know, you go out on a holiday and you're all looking forward to all the things that these cities have and so on, but it soon wears off, and I think probably after living all these years in the Yukon, I think the city life would be pretty hectic. And in the winter times, of course, now it's getting so that in the winter we try to go out for the worst part of the cold weather. But no, I really don't think that we would be happy outside. As a matter of fact, as I say, Chappie retired last December, and we've decided to stay in Watson Lake. We've bought our own mobile home and everything. We've bought a ground to put it on, and we intend staying here.
Do you have any feeling of isolation in the Yukon?
Oh no. Oh no. No, no. Even in Dawson City, when the only transportation that we had for quite a few years was to go on the riverboat from Dawson City to Whitehorse, and then on the train from Whitehorse to Skagway, and Skagway to Vancouver by boat. Of course, that was just in the summer months. The last boat would leave maybe the beginning of October. But everybody settled down, and we just made our own entertainment, and everybody got along, and it was just a beautiful place to live in at that time. There was no feeling of isolation.
Your husband was working with the Royal Northwest Mounted Police, was it?
Yes.
Did you follow him around? Was he stationed in one place?
No. When I met Chappie, he had already left the force. He was working with the Northern Commercial Company at that time, and he was sent to Dawson as an accountant for the Northern Commercial in Dawson City. But he took his training in Maple Creek, and then he was transferred to Whitehorse, I believe it was 1919 or 1920. And then he was transferred from there to Ross River, and he was there for 2 years. And then when he came out, his time expired and he didn't re-enlist. And oh, he's done just a little bit of everything since then. He's been diamond drilling, and he's been, you name it, I think he's done it. And of course, he's been here now, 52 years in the Yukon. But he did his 5-year service in the Royal Northwest Mounted Police and then left.
Your children, they went to school in Dawson City.
They went to school in Dawson City and also in Mayo. In Dawson City, they went to St. Mary's School. The Sisters of St. Anne were operating it at that time. And they went there to grade 8. And then her daughter went to the public school in Dawson for 2 years before we moved to Mayo. And our son went into grade 9, junior high, when we moved into Mayo. And then, of course, our daughter, she had to take her grade 11 and grade 12 through correspondence because there was only 2 teachers in Mayo, and they just didn't have time to teach 11 and 12. So she took it through correspondence, but she went to school every morning, and she took up a seat in the school from 9 to when school was out in the afternoon. In this way, she felt she got more done because she said had she studied at home, there would have been interruptions and so on. So she did go to school, and the year that she wrote her grade 12 exams, she was the only student in the Yukon that passed right now. All the others had to write SUPs. And Jack Holland, who many of the people in the Yukon knew, had been her math teacher, and he was so thrilled that she had made it and having to do it through correspondence that he sent her a telegram of congratulations, and she still has that telegram. It's one of her really precious possessions. And then of course she had to go outside to Vancouver. She was in the last class of Vancouver Normal School before they discontinued that, and at the year after that they had to go to UBC. And then our son, he finished school. He quit in grade 11, and he went outside to Vancouver Vocational School and he took a welding course, and then he came back and to Mayo, and he worked with his dad in the garage welding, and then of course he worked for Watco Placers out on Haggard Creek in Mayo area. And then he married a girl that he met in Mayo. She was a school teacher there. And then they moved to Vegreville, Alberta, and then into Edmonton. And our daughter taught in Revelstoke and Albert Camion. And then she came back to Whitehorse to teach. And she taught first of all in Selkirk Street School. And then she taught in Whitehorse Elementary. And this is where she met her husband. He was a teacher in Whitehorse Elementary School at that time too. So, but they were born and you might say raised in mostly in Dawson City and Mayo. Neither of them ever lived in Whitehorse. They were gone before we lived in Whitehorse. But they come back, our son and his wife and family come back every other year. In fact, last summer, they canoed from Whitehorse to Dawson City. 2 canoes, Bill and Colleen, his wife, and 3 children, and their dog. They were on the river for 2 weeks. And they enjoyed just every minute of it, you know.
So a couple of years back, you and your husband were Mr. and Mrs. Yukon.
Right.
When was that?
That was 1972. And we were chosen Mr. and Mrs. Yukon for the Sourdough Rendezvous in Whitehorse. We were chosen by the Yukon Order Pioneers, and we were really shocked when they phoned us this night and asked if we would consent to be Mr. and Mrs. Yukon. Well, this was really an honor, and of course we were really happy to do it. And it was a beautiful experience too. We went to Whitehorse to the rendezvous, and we were in the parade. It was 44 below that day, the parade. and we were sitting on a sleigh on an open truck. But however, we were just so thrilled, you know, at all this, that we didn't mind at all. And then, of course, we took in all the affairs that were going on in connection with the rendezvous, and we were entertained just beautifully. It was just a it was just a marvelous time. And then C.P. Air offered us a trip anywhere their planes flew in the world. Anywhere in the world they flew. So, well, when you're not planning on taking a trip like this, why, you just don't know where to begin. Well, as I was saying, when you're not planning on taking a trip like this, you just don't know where you want to go. It's more or less of a shock. But however, we talked to Mr. Vixie, I think his name is, of C.P. Air and Whitehorse, and also our friend Teresa Smith, and she suggested the South Pacific. So this is where we went, to the South Pacific, and we went. Also, we started our trip by attending Yukoners convention in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then that was on the Saturday night, and then on the Sunday they picked us up early in the morning and we went to Seattle. And we were at the council meeting with the mayor and council members of Seattle, and also Mayor Comadina from Dawson City. And who else? There was somebody else with, oh, John Gould and Madeline from Dawson City were there, and ourselves. And we took part in the ceremonies they had of making Dawson City a sister city to Seattle. And we were all just beautifully entertained by Mayor Ullman and his council members to dinner and cocktail parties and so on. It was just a beautiful experience there too. And then they rushed us back to, they took us through the part of Seattle that they're going to sort of restore, and it's going to be called Pioneer City. And we went all through that, and then we also went to the dock where the I can't remember offhand the name of the boat that brought all the gold from the north to Seattle, the first load of gold. I can't remember the name of the boat right offhand, but we toured all through in there. And then they rushed us back to Vancouver on the Monday, and we arrived back in Vancouver at the airport just in time to get on the plane to leave for Honolulu, and we were there for 3 days, and then we flew from Honolulu to Nandi, Fiji, and we were there 8 days, and then we flew from there to Sydney, Australia, and we were there 8 days, and then on the way back we flew directly from Sydney to Honolulu, and then back to Vancouver, Vancouver to Edmonton to visit our son and our daughter and their families, and then to Vancouver to visit our relatives there, and then back to Watson Lake. We were gone 6 weeks on that trip. And then we got back from that in April, and then in May we were invited by Brigadier General Withers from Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. He was in charge of the armed forces there, and he invited us to an armed forces day. So we were picked up here at the airport by air search and rescue plane, and there was Assistant Commissioner Fleming and his wife, and Major Deacon and his wife, and quite a few of the personnel, Army and so on from up there, were on the plane too. And we got there on the Friday they took us, and we got there just in time to attend the RCMP ball. And we were quite thrilled to go over there, because the inspector in charge of the in Yellowknife, we had known him when he was a young constable in Mayo. And then of course we had a beautiful time that night, and then the next day was the armed forces day, and they had the display of the snowbirds, these planes, and so on. And we were to lunch with General Withers and his wife, and we were entertained at dinner that evening with the army again. And then they had brought in a cast to put on a performance there, and we were guests there of the army again. And then next morning we were taken out to the airport at Yellowknife again, and brought back to Watson Lake. And we got back to Watson Lake about noon on Sunday. Then 17th of August came along, and the Dawson celebration, and we were invited to go to Dawson City as guests of the commissioner on his chartered flight. Commissioner Smith didn't attend. Again, Assistant Commissioner Fleming, who he was at that time, he was representing the commissioner, so we had the pleasure again of his company. And we were only in Dawson City overnight at that time, and then back to Watson Lake again. So we had a real interesting and busy year, and it's an experience that we'll just never forget, and I don't think we'll ever stop talking about it. It's something that we remember always, and something that we are really appreciative to the Yukon Order Pioneers for making it possible for us.
Have you found any problems for women living in
Yukon? Well, speaking for myself, no. I'd say no. Of course, I'm what you might call the old school, eh? And when I was first married and raising my family and so on, there was no such a thing as women's lib and all this sort of thing. We felt we had a job to do, and we did it. But as far as I can see, I can't see any problems for women living in the Yukon, or I'll say for women living anywhere. You know, life is what you make it. And granted, this day and age, people need a lot more than we needed when we were starting out. But, and of course, the cost of living has got to the point now where both man and wife more or less have to work. I do think that women should have a certain amount of freedom and so on, which they didn't used to have years ago. But I still feel that there shouldn't be any problems for women living in the Yukon. I can't see it. And of course, too, this at this day stage in the Yukon, too, they're not, we were speaking of isolation, they're not isolated as we were years ago. But we didn't mind it because we had our home, we had our work to do during the day, and our days went by just the same as they do now, where we have all the transportation and facilities and so on. Life went on. In fact, I would say that those days were better days than they are now.
What did you do in your spare time?
In Dawson City, well, when I was first married, I didn't have much spare time. I had my house to keep and my meals to get and laundry and so on, as everybody else did. I had two children to raise, and this takes a lot of your time. And then, of course, Chappie being in charge of the NC there, and it was quite a big operation, we entertained quite a bit. And actually, I didn't find that time hung heavy on my hands at all. What I did do, I curled. I curled for about 25 years, and in both Dawson City and Mayo. And when I was first married in Dawson City, in the summertime, I used to play ball. But other than that, I didn't have any problem putting my time in at all. I I was always busy doing something, and of course in those days we used to do a lot of knitting. We used to play bridge quite a bit in Dawson City too. And of course the ladies had afternoon teas, which were really beautiful affairs. You didn't go to a tea without your hat and gloves and the whole bit, and it was really lovely, and the ladies used to bake for days and weeks before and have all these beautiful little cakes and sandwiches and so on. And then we used to have bridge parties, and they had a picture show there, and they had hockey games. They had a lot to do, you know, in Dawson City. If you wanted to do it, there was plenty to do. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to let time hang on heavy on your hands.
Mm-hmm. And then your children had social activities?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. They had social activities in school, and they used to curl, the school rinks, curling. And they had what they called a Dawson Youth Association. It was a club that a Catholic priest organized there. And they used to have their little dances on Friday nights under supervision of adults. And there was no such a thing as, vandalism or anything like that. It seemed to me that when our children were growing up in Dawson City, they were probably the last that had the beautiful times when there was no worries about all the problems and so on that young people have today. Mm-hmm. And they had lots and lots to occupy their time with.
So you don't paint, you mentioned that you knit.
Oh, I used to do a lot of knitting, and for a little while I did I didn't do oil paintings. What I mean by from the very beginning, we were interested in photography, and Chaffee had a dark room, and we used to take the pictures, and he used to develop them and then enlarge them, and I colored them with oils. Mm-hmm. I did have a while that I did this, and that was, I found, very interesting. Of course, in the evenings, we didn't have television like we have now, and the only radio we had in those days was from the States. And we used to be able to get Fairbanks and Moscow, we could get just beautifully. And we sometimes could get a San Francisco station. But we did other things rather than listen to radio and that too much. We would be developing our films, or we would be painting, and we took a lot of movie film. We still have a tremendous amount of 16mm movies from 1932 on up. And as a matter of fact, just a week ago, we did show quite a few of them to the members of the Wally Byam Caravan here. And we used to spend our time editing our movies and so on. And at that time, there was a dentist in Dawson City, Dr. Snyder. And he was a great movie fan, too. And so he used to come up, and we used to work on movie film. And we never had any time that was hanging on our hands where we would say, well, no, what shall we do? We always had something to do.
You've just been helping your husband all along the way, I guess. You're just a housewife. You've been a storekeeper.
Well, I've tried. Yes, I've tried to help along the way, and I think I did. I'm sure I did. Mm-hmm. And I did work with him in the store, and I worked with him in the garage, and when he was manager of Northern Metallic down here, if he was busy in there, I'd even go in there and give him a hand if he needed it. And I've helped, I feel, in many ways. And you know, this is another thing, speaking of problems with women and so on, you know, two people have to work at a marriage. And if two people don't work at it, then you do have problems. And I think that when you work side by side, as many, well, as I say, in the days that we were first married and so on, well, there was no such a thing as the women going out to work. You raised your family. And of course, in those days, the woman didn't have to go out to work as they more or less have to now. But I think I contributed all along the way.
When you first came up to Yukon, did you find the like the climate in winter, for example, did you find it very severe and hard to?
The first winter I was here, yes, I did, although I didn't, I wasn't nearly as much afraid of it as my sister and brother-in-law were afraid to let me go out in the elements. And the first winter, I think I was pretty lonely because it was a real cold, cold winter. It was 50 below, it seemed to me just forever it was 50 below. And of course, where I came from, I worked in Vancouver, but I came from the interior of British Columbia where we could see it 30 and 40 below zero there. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the same type of cold. But the first winter I was there, I could say, yes, maybe I was a little lonely because my sister and brother-in-law were afraid that if I put my nose out, it was going to be frozen to death. Mm-hmm. But I didn't mind the winters that much. It was a change, complete change, but I've never minded them.